my name? I'll say you're man.
It's a man, baby!
Oh my.
Light bulb.
Oh yeah!
Oh snap.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Why is it that that particular drop, that one about it not being a lie, just seems to be the most appropriate one for everything we talk about? Good morning and welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, hoping you are having a terrific day in the neighborhood and that all things are well with you. It is a Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast, and I was looking through the stack of things to talk about today and wishing we actually had hours upon hours upon hours. But alas, no, we do not have hours upon hours upon hours. It would be nice if we did, but no. Just I had to make a decision at some point to put a time limit on things, and an hour is what we're doing. So we will shoehorn as much as possible into the 1 hour that we have together. So welcome aboard. Good to have you along, whether you are on Facebook Live, whether you are listening to the podcast later through your podcast aggregator. The Rolodex in my head was spinning. Your podcast program of choice. It doesn't matter how you're listening. I appreciate you being there. So I'm looking through the odds, the ends, the this's and that's that are today's topics. And I wish I could get to everything I have in my stack, but there's no way I can. So let's go cover a base really quickly, just for a couple of moments that we have covered a couple of times already, because there are more developments on a story that is local to Alabama, but has achieved national attention just because of how outrageous a statement by an Alabama Democrat politician was. Now, another Alabama Democrat has been sucked into the vortex around John Rogers. Alabama Democratic Senator Doug Jones reportedly agreed with State Representative John Rogers' controversial abortion comments during a private phone call, despite condemning what Rogers said publicly. This is what John Rogers said in a radio interview. Rogers has stirred up controversy for framing Alabama's abortion ban debate by saying, hey, kill them now or kill them later, in a reference to unwanted kids. We've explored this at length. The Washington Examiner says that Rogers said this. He called me twice. He told me, Doug, John, I know you're right, but I got to come out against you. I said, okay. I said, fine, if it's going to help your campaign, do that. This is Rogers, a Democrat. That's what he said in an interview with Birmingham's Talk 99.5 on Monday, yesterday. The host of the show, Matt, he said, he was on the Matt and Awnie show. He said he asked Rogers to confirm that Jones agreed with his abortion comments. He asked, this is my takeaway so far, that a sitting United States senator called you and said that they agreed with you, but politically he had to step out publicly against you. And Rogers responded, yeah, right. The reported phone conversation is notably different in tone than Jones's public statement on Rogers' comments. Doug Jones wrote last week on Twitter, the rhetoric of Representative John Rogers gets more appalling each time he speaks. He does not speak for the people of Alabama and is in fact offending all Alabamians with his crude and reprehensible comments. Jones contradicted Rogers' recounting of their phone call, though. He used to be, actually, Jones used to be Rogers' personal attorney. He said, look, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this. I made my position clear. That's what he told the Washington Examiner. I thought his remarks were appalling, and I told him that I strongly disagreed with him. There's already too much division in our politics, and I won't add to it here. With that, that's all I'm going to say on this matter. Now, Rogers has defended abortion by saying you can kill unwanted children now or later and suggesting that Donald Trump Jr.'s life is a good defense of abortion and that Donald Trump Jr. should have been aborted. Rogers, not in this article, but Rogers has also said, after Jones has come out and denied saying this, he has come out and reinforced what he said. He said it's true, and he has dangled the possibility that he may run against Jones for his Senate seat. Now that, I've got to tell you, that would be entertaining. At the very least, it would be entertaining, because you've heard this man speak. You heard what he had to say when he was speaking off the cuff. You heard how he expresses himself. You have heard how he handled a news reporter's questions. Can you imagine this man running for a national office? Can you imagine this man running for a Senate seat to represent the state of Alabama in Washington, D.C.? I can't. And I don't think any rational, honest person can. But that's where this story is right now. So there we have it. Doug Jones and John Rogers are at odds with each other, at least in public. In private, they may be laughing with each other and joking and slapping each other on the back. That's a distinct possibility. It begs the question, how do these people get into office? How do these people get elected? How do they stay in office? That's a question I've asked a lot of times. And Dave Mack and I have discussed it from time to time on the Mark and Mack Show. Why? How can people vote for individuals like this? How can they send them to represent them, even at the state level or the local level for that matter, and then continue to put them back in office again? Well, there's an article that the Heritage Foundation has republished. Let's see, where was it? It says originally. It was originally in the Washington Times, about America and our knowledge of things that matter. It's called "Is America Turning Into a Nation of Dunces?" And I may have enough time to read it for you right here, so let me dive in. Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1789, "Whenever the people are well-informed, they can be trusted with their own government." But if Jefferson were to read the results of the latest survey from the Woodrow Wilson National Fellowship Foundation, he might seriously doubt modern America's capacity for self-governance. It shows that most Americans would fail even a basic citizenship test. Today, 60% of college graduates cannot name a single step necessary to ratify a constitutional amendment. Half don't know how long the terms are for representatives or senators. Two out of five don't know that Congress has the power to declare war. The First Amendment prohibits an establishment of religion and guarantees the free exercise of religion, yet a majority of Americans believe that the Constitution established a Christian nation. One in ten think Congress could actually outlaw atheism because the United States is one country under God. It gets worse. 10% of the college graduates surveyed thought that Judge Judy is currently serving on the Supreme Court. Indeed, pop culture references are better known than basics of American civics and history, even when those pop references are decades old. More Americans can name the Three Stooges than the three branches of government, and three times as many can identify the city with the zip code 90210 than they can the city where our Constitution was written. Even the most rudimentary knowledge of that founding document eludes far too many Americans. Barely half, 53%, for example, know that the first 10 amendments are called the Bill of Rights. A third cannot name a single right protected by the First Amendment. And what many do know is wrong. For example, more than 1 in 10 Americans say that the Bill of Rights protects the right to own a pet. Only 35% know that the first three words of the Constitution are "We the People." By way of comparison, two-thirds think that it was America's founders, not Karl Marx, who penned the phrase, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs, and actually put them in the Constitution. What's truly frightening is how this stunning unfamiliarity with the Constitution has bred contempt. If put to a vote today, only half of those surveyed said they would vote to adopt the Constitution. Even fewer believe that Congress should follow the Constitution. So much for the rule of law. And speaking of law, misunderstandings regarding the judicial branch are particularly acute. The Annenberg Public Policy Center's annual surveys, for example, show that one in four Americans thinks a 5-4 Supreme Court ruling is sent to Congress. One in four also think that it might be better to do away with the court altogether. George Washington said, "The education of our youth in the science of government is vital, because they are the future guardians of the liberties of the country." Yet the National Center for State Courts found that only one in five U.S. adults can correctly name all three branches, and two in five couldn't name a single one. Samuel Adams wrote that the nation's freedom would be secure so long as virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people. Yet our national stock of both seems to be dwindling. Far too many Americans think Judge Judy is a Supreme Court justice, Karl Marx is a founding author, and your great Aunt Lucy has a specifically defined constitutional right to keep those 26 cats. It's laughable, until you realize that the civic illiteracy extends to the point that many are apparently perfectly fine with either ignoring the Constitution or throwing it out altogether. Jefferson said that a nation cannot expect to be both ignorant and free. For the sake of our nation and our own personal freedom, it is essential that we get back to teaching the basics of American civics. We are failing the founders. As I said, that appeared originally in the Washington Times. It's coming to us from Heritage, the Heritage Foundation. And it's a commentary by Thomas Jipping. He's the deputy director of the Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And Peyton Smith, the spring 2019 member of the Young Leaders Program at the Heritage Foundation. It is a tremendous article. It's in the show notes today. You need to get those. Sign up for the newsletter. Go to markcongleton.com. The form's right there. It's absolutely right spot on. 60% of college graduates can't name a single step necessary to ratify a constitutional amendment. 10% of the college graduates surveyed thought Judge Judy is currently serving on the Supreme Court. I've talked about this before, and that is that our students today are not being taught American history. Well, they are. I think they get a semester of it when they're in the fifth grade, something like that. You, like me, like I, probably remember civics. It was required. There was a class, you had to take it. In all honesty, at that point in my life, I think it was eighth grade, I would have rather been anywhere else on the planet, including the middle of an erupting volcano, than in that class. Because it was dry, it was dull, it was uninteresting to somebody that age. And I think quite possibly that is why our kids aren't learning this stuff anymore. It's because our education system is struggling and trying to find ways to keep them interested. And so they eliminate extremely necessary, vital, important things in an effort to keep scores up. Well, we're failing our future generations. The article says we're failing our founders. We're failing future generations. We've failed the current generation. Because quite frankly, they don't know what's going on. They don't know our history. They don't understand why certain things are wrong and certain things are right. And that explains why they can look at the President of the United States and believe all manner of falsehoods about him. Because they haven't been taught the truth, and they don't have a foundation to stand on when they're deciding what could be true or could be false. Without that standard, without that foundation, they could believe anything. And that's exactly what the left wants. They want them to trust the heroes in politics to tell them what is real and what is not. The problem with that is that the vast majority of those heroes are liars. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Skimming through the stuff that we're going to talk about today. And have you seen this story about this Pennsylvania State Representative Brian Sims? The way he's been harassing pro-lifers. And he actually harassed an elderly woman who was, actually she's a Catholic lady who was praying a rosary across from an abortion clinic. And she's very peacefully, legally, exercising her right to protest something that she disagrees with. And she is prayerfully doing so. She's not confronting people, not getting in anybody's face, not embarrassing or in any other way contacting people. She's just praying for people. This loser, this Pennsylvania State Representative, Brian Sims, walks up to her and just gives her grief, all kinds of grief. It's nasty. It's nasty. Well, this morning, I'm skimming through Twitter and Facebook. And I see that the young lady who is the founder of And Then There Were None, and her story is now a movie that has awakened a lot of people and caused somewhere around 1% of all abortion workers to step away. They've called, say, help me get out of this job. Abby Johnson, she posted today she's going to be in front of that abortion clinic, and she invited Brian Sims to come harass her. Come on, bring it. That should be entertaining. Should be very interesting. Something to watch for today as as your day goes forward. Oh, man. I'm still thinking also about this thing about America turning into a nation of dunces. I think it's too late to ask if it is turning into a nation of dunces. I think it is a nation of dunces. I watch YouTube videos because there are certain things I'm interested in, technology, you know, cameras and drone tech and all kinds of things. And there are a handful of channels, and I was actually surprised the other day. I looked at the number of channels I subscribe to. I said, wow, I subscribe to a lot of channels. And I see what people, let's say the people younger than 40, who are in their 30s and younger, I see their views on life around them. And their views are shaped not by fact or by history or by anything that is important and should be considered to be a standard or a foundation. Their views are shaped by pop culture. They can tell you what a certain singer or TV star or reality show character eats for breakfast, but they can't tell you anything about Thomas Jefferson, except that he owned a slave or two or three. They can't tell you anything about George Washington. They can't tell you anything about how we broke away from Great Britain and why. All they know about is something where people culturally appropriated Native American attire and threw tea into a harbor. That's all they can tell you about. So they don't know why this nation exists. They also don't know what this nation has done for the entire world. They don't understand that without the United States of America, millions of people who are living and breathing today would not be. For many reasons. Of course, because of our military and the fact that we go to the rescue when we are called upon. But also because of our developments in science and medicine, in technology, the developments that we have, the things that we have brought to the world, which have changed the face of humankind forever. Life expectancies are longer. People in places without water have water. People in places that couldn't grow food can grow food. People in places which were ravaged by disease are healthy because of this country, because of the foundation of this country, which bred all of those advances and that willingness to run to the rescue when we were needed. Something you just don't find easily anywhere else. And that's why we're a wealthy nation. That's why life is better here. And that's why these people who are complaining about life here and the fact that it's that we have income inequality. I just love that one. Like any income inequality is a bad thing. And they want to level the playing field so everybody is fairly treated and equal. Well, that sounds nice, but you try that with a group of kids in preschool and see what happens. And those kids, their human nature doesn't change throughout their entire lives. Some will never, ever be happy. And the ones who legitimately have achieved a margin of success will have things taken from them and given to others, and then they'll stop trying. It's just the way we're wired. And it's really sad because leftists have determined that certain things must never be taught to students, but rather they must be taught leftist opinion about the history of our nation. And this is especially true at the college level when professors sit and pontificate about the evils of America to their students. And this is why, all of this is why, it is so extremely important that you, as a parent and as a grandparent, spend time with those little ones and teach them the truth. That you spend time with them and open books and show them what is real so they understand. There are great resources available to teach your children about history in ways they'll understand. You don't have to rely on the approved books coming through the school systems because you just can't trust what you're getting from them anymore. But if you do just a little bit of research, you can find the materials you need to protect the intellects of your children and grandchildren and teach them the truth about this country and why this country has been and still is important. Because without that knowledge, they'll believe whatever they're told. So, please, take some time. Make sure those precious little ones understand the truth about this country, about why it was founded, about how it was founded, and how important it has been to the entire world. Because if we don't, it's lost. And we'll be lost forever. And there are those who are working hard to make sure that's true. They're working really hard to fundamentally transform the United States of America into something that will fail, because what they want to try here has been tried before, and every time it has been tried, it has failed. but they can't try. They can't do these things. They can't make these changes if people know the truth. If they knew the truth about our founding, if they know the truth about what makes America exceptional, and yes, America is exceptional because of its roots, because of its founding. If they know the truth, they can't be deceived. I've used the illustration before. My wife, Jane, my sweet wife, Jane, sweetest woman in the world. She, at one time, for several years, worked as a bank teller. They don't teach bank tellers to recognize counterfeit money. They teach bank tellers to recognize real money. So when someone hands them a counterfeit, it's obvious. When you know what's real and someone hands you something that's fake, you instantly get a gut feeling that something's not right. They teach them to recognize real money. So when somebody tries to pass a fake hundred, something about it sets them off. And they take a moment and examine it and find out, yeah, that's fake. We have to do the same thing with our kids and our grandchildren. We have to teach them what's true and what's real, so that when people present them with what is false, they'll recognize it's not real. I can't overemphasize how important that is. Because in this day and age, we're seeing examples of this insanity all around us. And like I said, when I watch these YouTube videos and I see these younger people, I say younger people, they're younger than me, I see them not understanding why certain things are. Because all of the information in their lives comes from pop culture. It just makes it all the more important to me to make sure people understand the truth and educate themselves and their families. If the people are important to you, it should be important to you to teach them the truth. We'll be back after the break when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back. This is the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host. Oh my. If you've been paying attention to the news, you're aware that the Democrats are trying as hard as they can to get their hands on President Trump's taxes. They want to go digging into his tax records. And they're making a major issue about this. It has become over the last election cycles, it's become sort of a tradition for people to put their taxes out there. You know, somebody at some point puts them out there. Hey, look, I just want to prove to you I'm clean. I'm honest. And it catches on and people feel compelled that they need to do this. But you don't have to, I don't think. But here's the thing. The reasoning behind getting the tax returns is the same reason they want the entire unredacted Mueller report, because they want to be able to dig into it and pick things apart and pull things out of context and misrepresent what is in it. As I explained to you at one point a few weeks ago, when you are in business and your entire life revolves around your business empire, taxes are different. The way you handle taxes is different. The way you file, the way you evaluate or value properties, the way everything is done is different. It's not illegal. It's just different. Because the average Joe gets up, goes to work, never thinks about his taxes until he's got to file for them once a year. In April 15th, tax day comes around, and you've got to fill out a form, send it off, and you hope you get a nice fat refund. Well, They've automated the process to the degree that you don't have to think about your taxes. If you did, let's just say once a month you had to sit down and write a check to the government, you'd be thinking about your taxes all the time. But they have removed that from you, so you don't think about it. All you know is that you got to pay, and it's got to be, and so you're, whoever you work for deducts it from your paycheck. Well, people in business, that's not the way their taxes work. Ask any small business person, and they will tell you that at some point they make a decision. And that decision is that everything in life relates to the business. And so their personal taxes are the business's taxes. Their personal vehicles are business vehicles and the like. Why? Because that's how our tax system is set up. You can do that. So if you run a business, everything about taxes is different. And the vast majority of people work for other people, and they don't have to see things that way. So when a devious politician gets his or her hands on tax records, they can expose certain things to the vast majority of people, which are completely and totally legal and above board, and present them in such a way that they look like they're shady and not so legal and above board, and the vast majority of people will clutch their pearls, gasp, and say, "I didn't know he was a crook." And that's exactly why the Democrats want the tax records. Because they know that they can present perfectly reasonable, rational, legal things in a light that will incense people, and they will demand something be done. That's why they want them. Well, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told congressional Democrats he would not be honoring their request to provide 6 years of President Donald Trump's taxes, likely setting up a legal battle. You can look for it. He rejected the demand in a letter to Congress released yesterday. Quote, "In reliance on the advice of the Department of Justice, I have determined that the committee's request lacks a legitimate legislative purpose. The department is therefore not authorized to disclose the requested returns and return information." The Democrat-controlled Ways and Means Committee had set a deadline for compliance in April, but Mnuchin responded by saying that he needed to seek guidance from the Department of Justice. Representative Richard Neal, Democrat from Massachusetts, responded in a curt statement saying, "Today, Secretary Mnuchin notified me that the IRS will not provide the documents I requested under Section 6103 of the Internal Revenue Code. I will consult with counsel and determine the appropriate response." He phrases that in a way that makes his request seem legitimate. It probably isn't. Given their track record, the refusal will likely lead to a legal battle over the taxes that the president has said he would reveal after his audit was over. And by the way, when you are at business at the level Donald Trump is, and you're not kissing the feet of every liberal politician on earth, you're constantly under audit. During the Obama years, high-profile conservatives were audited year after year after year. The Obama administration used the IRS as a weapon against conservatives. And so, yeah, it is conceivable that he is under audit constantly. According to a Quinnipiac University poll, 29% of Americans polled said he shouldn't release his tax returns, while 64% said he should. Now, given what we just discussed over the last couple of segments, that's meaningless. Popular opinion is meaningless. When a portion of our population believes that Judge Judy is serving on the Supreme Court, polling means nothing. That's something we all need to remember. Also, going on is this fight over the Mueller report and Attorney General William Barr. And that's another area where the political left is depending on the gross ignorance of the American people. This battle between congressional Democrats and the Justice Department over Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report has reached new levels of vitriol. Some on the left are calling for Attorney General Bill Barr to be physically dragged in to testify before them, even locked up for defying congressional subpoenas. It's just astounding to me. I have seen these people, I've seen the news clips, as you probably have, where they're saying, yeah, he should be forced to come in to testify. He should be forced, dragged in to testify. He should be locked up for not cooperating. Are those the statements of truly American people? Or are those the statements of fascists? Those are the statements of fascists. That is fascism. That this man, who is acting to the letter of the law, should be dragged in before a council of people and compelled to testify, or locked up for not doing so. That's fascism. The demands have escalated after the Attorney General refused to appear before the House Judiciary Committee last week, amid disagreements over the format of the hearing. As we've talked about before, initially he agreed to appear when congressional representatives would sit across from him and ask him questions. He would be there to answer questions. The day prior to his scheduled appearance, he had sat before senators, and he answered some questions, but sat for 5 or 6 hours and listened to Democrats berate him and lecture him and posture and pose for the cameras to look like heroes of the leftist cause. But before Congress, he had agreed to a specific set of rules. This is how things would be. It's how it's always been. It's the way it should be. And in midstream, they changed canoes. And as a result, he said, I won't be appearing. They changed the rules, and they were going to have staff attorneys interrogate him. And the purpose was to set up a perjury trap. They wanted to try to catch him in some way making statements that didn't agree with each other about certain things. And they had done this already before with key people during the Mueller investigation, where they would ask a certain question about a certain email or some other kind of communication. And when answers at two different sittings didn't line up, when they were slightly different, because of, oh, I just remembered something different. You know how that works. Oh, yeah, there was something else I forgot about. Or I forgot to give you this one because it was not in this folder or whatever. When they find out there's inconsistencies, they charge him with perjury. That's what they were trying to do to William Barr. Barr, not being the dumbest knot on the log, saw through what they were trying to do and said, no, won't be appearing. Though he testified a day earlier, he deprived the Democrats in Congress of their little power play and their little edition of Kabuki theater, and wouldn't let them have their moment in front of the television cameras. And as a result, they all act like adolescents the next day with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and a plastic chicken, and they called him a coward, and now some of them are demanding he be locked up for not appearing before them. This is who wants to have total control of our government. And that's why we can't let them have it. Because they are the fascists who want to lock people up who will not agree with them and will not play by their ever-changing rules. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. What a day we've had so far today, huh? I wish I had things to laugh about, but for some reason today, it's just not there. Oh my goodness. There's a whole bunch of people in the Democrat clown car that are running for president. And they're all trying to make statements to the news media that gets them widespread attention. And one of the hot button issues for the left is guns, gun violence. Now, let's get something straight right off the bat. And that is that as horrible as gun violence is, it's rare. What is much, much more prevalent is legally carrying gun owners stopping crime. That actually happens much, much more than actual gun violence does. You never hear about that because, well, as they like to tell you, that's just not news. It should be. And here's why. If it were news, then more people who are not carrying legally and who have less than honorable intentions would think twice about carrying out those less than honorable intentions. In other words, criminals would have more to think about. And as a result, their activities would decrease. We know this is true because we have watched it happen. We know that when legal gun purchases are on the rise, legal gun ownership is on the rise, that criminal activity involving guns decreases. This is all in the statistics that we have. Now, you will never hear that from someone like, Democrat New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, who's running for the 2020 presidential slot for the Democrats. You won't hear that from him or anybody like him. Because in their book, it's the guns that are the problem. We have to take the guns away from people. Or we have to make sure that only the right people have guns. Well, yesterday, he proposed sweeping gun control legislation. His proposal would, among other things, force Americans to have a sit-down interview with a federal government employee in order to purchase a firearm. In Cory Booker's world, for you to be able to buy a handgun to protect yourself and your family, or a rifle for hunting, you would have to sit down with a federal government employee and go through an interview. During an appearance on CNN yesterday morning, Booker was asked if he supported a gun buyback proposal like the one offered by Democratic California Representative Eric Swalwell. He's a long-shot presidential candidate, and he's nuts, by the way. Just go look at some of the things he stands for. Booker didn't endorse the proposal, but said that America needs to get weapons of war, his words, weapons of war, off the streets. Just between you and me, I have not seen any weapons of war on the streets of America. In fact, neither has Cory Booker or any Democrat. None of them have seen weapons of war on the streets. None of them. Booker also refused to say whether he'd prosecute those who refused to comply with a gun buyback. He said, "We should have a law that bans these weapons, and we should have a reasonable period in which people can turn in these weapons." When asked by CNN's Jim Sciutto how he'd push his proposal through, Booker compared the persistence of gun control activists to that of civil rights activists in the 1960s. Quote, "Civil rights legislation failed time and time again, but we brought a fight in the civil rights movement like Congress had never seen." Can I just clarify something for a moment? Civil rights legislation failed time and time again because Democrats defeated it time and time again. Democrats did not want civil rights legislation to pass. Republicans stood behind it, campaigned for it, pushed it, And until Lyndon Johnson realized that it would be better for them politically, as far as securing power and control, to side with the civil rights movement, they stood steadfastly against it. It wasn't bringing a fight for the civil rights movement to Congress that made that successful. It was Lyndon Baines Johnson calling in the Democrat leadership and telling them, this is what we're going to do, because if we vote for this, we'll have these people voting for us for 200 years. That's what he used the N-word, not these people. Booker said, let's not exaggerate what this is. This is actually really simple. We do it for passports. We do it for TSA pre-check. We do it for people that are driving cars. No, Mr. Booker. None of those things are constitutionally protected rights. You don't have a right to a passport. It's not protected in the Constitution. You don't have a right to TSA pre-check to be able to get through the TSA process faster. It's not protected by the Constitution. It's not there. You don't have a right to drive, Mr. Booker. It's not a constitutionally protected right. It's not there. The Second Amendment, however, protects my right and your right to own a firearm. And it's there, and you can read the writings of the founders, those who crafted our Constitution, and they confirm that the reason it's there is because an armed people keeps the government in check. And people like you can't have power and abuse that power if they know that the population is armed. That's why it's protected. You can't take that away from us without rewriting the Constitution. In addition to his mandatory interview proposal, Booker would limit gun purchases to one handgun per month. He would ban, quote, assault weapons, end quote, and instruct the IRS to conduct an investigation into the tax status of the NRA. He said in a Medium post on Monday, beginning on day one in office, we'll take executive action to build on ongoing efforts and take concrete steps forward, closing dangerous loopholes in gun sales. There it is, the gun show loophole, which doesn't exist. Cracking down on unscrupulous dealers, as if federally licensed gun dealers are unscrupulous. You know what? It might happen, but it's so rare. It's so rare. Oh, and unscrupulous gun manufacturers. See, he's making these people into demons, and they're not. And investing in communities impacted by gun violence. Investing? In what way, Mr. Booker? In what way? Can we look at Baltimore? What has investment there done? What has your kind of investment accomplished in Baltimore, Maryland? What has your kind of investment done in Washington, D.C.? What has your kind of investment done in Chicago, Illinois? In essence, Cory Booker is lying. He's fanning the flames of fear about something that's actually quite rare, and that is massive gun violence. This is why they step up every time there's a school shooting. School shootings happen because the news media loves sensationalism. If it bleeds, it leads. And so demented people want to get on the news and become famous. So they go shoot up a school. And schools are unprotected because they're gun-free zones. And since they've become gun-free zones, the incidence of violence has increased. So that's the investment in communities he's talking about. More gun-free zones. And more victimizing groups of people because they disagree, which is what the tax investigation of the NRA would be. the NRA is about 5 million civilians, Americans who are gun owners. It's not some shadow organization who are trying to do something nefarious. The NRA is people. They aren't funding or in bed with any corporations. They're people trying to protect their Second Amendment rights. And Cory Booker and people like him are interested in taking those rights away from people. Because if the people can't bear arms, then the government can be their hero and manipulate every part of their lives. Just look a little south to Venezuela to see how that turns out. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.